Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our living and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Luke, the author of the Gospel we've been reading together since December, and the one who crafted today's story about Jesus' resurrection, St. Luke was many things. Easily the best storyteller in the New Testament. According to church tradition, Luke was also a companion of the Apostle Paul, a successful evangelist, and even a physician. Yes, Luke was many things, but one thing he wasn't was an improv comedian. Let me explain. Improvisational comedy is that kind of comedic performance where there are no scripts and no pre-written jokes, where the participants are given a prompt and then just go along with the conversation, passing it back and forth, ad-libbing with whatever might come their way. And the number one rule in improv is that when it's your turn to carry on the conversation, you always start with "and," never start with "but." "And," you see, is a conjunction that allows you to add things, to continue the narrative, to build on what's already been said, to go along with the flow. "But," in contrast, interrupts the narrative, sometimes grinding it to a halt. It's a disruptive conjunction, forcing you to change course, making it so much harder to continue the flow that's already been established. Of course, you don't have to be an improv comedian to know this. Probably each one of us has at least one friend or relative in our life who seems to respond to anything we say, any opinion we offer with, "but." It's not pleasant. When "but" is the dominant conjunction, it feels like your opinion is constantly being contradicted, if not downright discounted. Maybe nobody knows that better than parents of young children. "Time for bed," a parent may say, "but the show isn't over yet," comes the response. Or, "time to get your homework done," "but I'm texting my friend." Which is why the number one rule in improv is always start with "and," never "but." And so, while St. Luke may be many things, he is definitely not an improv comedian. Listen again to his account of the first Easter. "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen.' Then the women remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and all the rest. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping down and looking in. He saw the linen cloths, then he went home amazed at what had happened." Okay. So what is up, Luke, with all the buts? Some of them don't even make any sense. I mean, why start with "but" on the first day of the week when you could just as easily say, oh, I don't know, on the first day of the week? The next sentence is the same, and the one after that. Again and again, Luke chooses the interruptive, disruptive, contradictory conjunction "but," when it would have just plain made more sense to say "and," which is confusing. Like I said, Luke is without a doubt the best storyteller in the New Testament, maybe in the whole Bible. Doesn't he know that if you want to continue the story seamlessly, you shouldn't use "but" in literally every other sentence? Except, dare I say, but, maybe that is Luke's point all along. Maybe he doesn't want to continue the story seamlessly Maybe he doesn't want to just go with the flow. Think about it. Each of us has a different story filled with different characters, different ups and downs, different successes and setbacks, hopes and disappointments. Each of our stories is unique, and yet they all end in the same way, in death. If you're lucky, that death comes after a long and happy life. But whether you're lucky or not, happy or not, the ending is the same. And despite all the technological advances we've made over the centuries, the two most compelling statistics about death remain unchanged. The death rate is still 100%. And it is still one per person. Until that first Easter morning. Jesus' resurrection contradicts the law of death. It interrupts the normal, dismal course of history. It disrupts the natural order. It denies that death is the final reality. And St. Luke bears witness to this, not just with the story he tells, but also in the way he tells it. But on the first day, but when they went in, they did not find the body. But the angel said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" And then that climactic, world-changing interruption, "He is not here, but he has risen." When Matthew and Mark tell this story, they use almost exactly the same words, except with no but. Writing simply and more succinctly, "He is not here, he is risen." Luke's addition of that disruptive, interruptive conjunction is absolutely unnecessary, grammatically at least. Existentially, it's everything. St. Paul writes the same way in a letter to some early Christians. Apparently, some of the members of the Corinthian church were having a hard time believing in the resurrection. And so Paul writes them saying, "If Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and our faith has been in vain. More than that, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And all those who have died in Christ have perished once and for all." It's a grim picture that Paul paints of the same old world of death, loss, and decay. Until finally Paul admits, "If for this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all people the most to be pitied." But then comes the interruption. As Paul continues hopefully, disruptively, even triumphantly, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first to be raised of all those who have died." Paul, like Luke, is making a promise. Because Jesus is raised, death does not have the last word. Because Jesus was raised, the future is always open. Because Jesus was raised, there is always hope. Because Jesus was raised, we know, in fact, that love is stronger than hate, and life is stronger than death. Because Jesus was raised, we and all those we love will also be raised to live with God eternally. It was a promise that Luke and Paul addressed to their congregations in the first century amid whatever doubts and struggles that they were contending with. And it is a promise addressed to us here and now in the 21st century as well, because here is the thing. There is still more than enough struggle and heartache and loss and sadness to go around. Whether it's wrestling with illness or the hardship of losing a loved one, whether it's the domestic division at home or global conflicts abroad, so much of what we see, experience, and share feels unrelentingly bad. And so it may be that just now you're having a hard time looking ahead with confidence, or are struggling to find a sense of purpose, or are caught up in fear or grief or loneliness and wonder if there's any hope. If so, that is so understandable. But Christ has been raised. And in Jesus' resurrection, God promises to love you and accept you as you are, to go with you wherever you may go, to use you to make a difference in this world, and to hold on to you always and through all things, even through death, into new life. And so, no, Luke would have never made it a new prophet. And as beautiful as his writing is throughout the gospel, in this story of the first Easter, he intentionally makes it a little more difficult, a little disruptive, interrupting the normal course of the story to drive home the point that the normal course of our story is not good enough for God. For Christ has been raised, and nothing will ever be the same again. Thanks be to God. Amen.